stupid. There we go. Chapter 22 is we finally come to a good king. After going through enough of the awful stuff, we hit a good king. And certainly not perfect. We're going to see that. But in that place where he had his heart after the things of the Lord. And it says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. I don't know if I'd want an 8-year-old running my country. Some of them have, and I keep, never mind, we're not going there. No political. He was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, which was a great reign, a wonderful reign. Remember the kings of Israel, there was not one good king, but in Judah, there was at least a few good kings, and here is one of them. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adaiah of Bashkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And so in this chapter and the next chapter, we're going to see really a revival happening in people's hearts in the nation. A revival that's going on. And remember, you can't be revived unless you're born again. So the revival is for the people who supposedly knew the Lord and walked with the Lord at one time and had walked away. And now for the nation, for it nationally, this revival is coming in that place. And there's really going to be some effects of that which are wonderful. And we certainly need to look at it in our own lives, because sometimes our hearts get hard, they get dull of hearing, we get dull in that place of being sharp towards the things of the Lord, and the world just kind of dumbs us down sometimes, but we always need to look and go, Lord, do I need reviving? And if I do, how do I get here? And we're going to see some of the steps that go on in a life of one who's being revived. So we'll take note of those as we go through. And it says, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it to the hand of the doers of the work that have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. So one of the first steps in revival for a person who's born again, and that's where revival starts, salvation has to come for others, but for the people in the church, revival has to come. And one of the first places that we look at, one of the first steps that needs to take place, is that we need to repair the breaches. And sometimes we come into that place where comes breaches in our life, whether we just give up on the things of the Lord, we stop believing the things of the Lord, we stop acting on the things of the Lord, we stop reading, we stop praying, all of those things. And he says, repair those breaches that have taken place in your life. When you were first saved, all those things were in place, and everything was happening, and things were good. And as we become dull of hearing, or we just start despising the things of the Lord, as you look at Hebrews, you see the five D's, the defying, the despising, the things that happen in those places in the Lord, that he says, repair those things. Stop up the holes in your life. Stop up the holes that have allowed the enemy to creep in. Stop up the holes. And isn't that what we want to do? We do it as a country. We see the new president coming, and that's one of his things that he wants to do for the nation, to bring wholeness to the nation, is to stop the holes that are in the borders. And we look at the same things in our own lives. Lord, what are the holes in my life? Where is the enemy coming in? Where is he gaining access to my life? Is it because I don't have a prayer life? Is it because I'm not reading consistently? Am I not in your word and giving out your word? Have I stopped preaching and ministering to those around me? What is it, Lord, and where is it that these things have gone on so that there's holes in my life? There's an emptiness. And the enemy is quick to come in when there's a hole in the wall. You look at Nehemiah, and hopefully we can get there someday. I love the book of Nehemiah. It's one of my favorite books because in it, he builds the whole wall around Jerusalem in 52 days, which is unbelievable. They didn't have Caterpillar tractors. They didn't have any of the things that we have today. We couldn't even do it in 52 days. But with the Lord, all things are possible. And that's who we trust. Lord, this is what you want for me. This is what you want for your nation. Help me to build those things. And in building the wall, they stopped the holes that were in the wall. And you look at the book of Isaiah in chapter 60, and it says that the gates are praise. The walls are salvation, and the gates are praise. And that's what stopped happening with Jerusalem. There was no praise, and there was no salvation going on. And Nehemiah brought that back into being. Ezra the priest was there, and he had started reading the law again, started reading those things of the Lord, and soon the walls were built, and salvation had come back to Israel, and there was praise in the place. And sometimes those are the simplest things that we need to have back in our hearts. Remember how you used to walk around just singing praise songs all the time? And all of a sudden, you go to Wegmans and you start singing Iron Maiden again. You know, and just like, what happened here? Something went wrong. And you start humming those things. And he goes, go back to salvation and build those gates again. Get praise back in there and put it back into your life. So the first step is to repair those breaches that are there. And he says, give the money to them so that they can repair those breaches, to the carpenters, to the builders, to the masons, to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. People were faithful then. And because they were faithful, there wasn't a reckoning, because they were taking everything that was given and doing it rightly. Wouldn't it be great if we could have a government like that? Never mind, we're not going there. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found in the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So the second step, repair the breaches, get back into God's word. And it says that they found the word. But really, what's happening is the word is finding their hearts. We find the word, but it finds us. And that's really the case, because you can get in a place, and I think we've probably all been there, where sometimes we read through and we have no idea what we're reading. You get done with it and you go, well, I finished my 5 chapters according to my Bible reading program, but I have no idea what God just said to me. And really, we have to find the word so it can find our hearts. Because that's what it wants to do. The word wants to find our hearts to change us and to restore what the enemy has torn down. Because the enemy is always the one tearing things down. God is always building up. And God wants to pluck down. He wants to tear down those things that are awful, the things that are wrong, and build up the things that are right. And so allow the word to do that. So the second step is having God's word back in that place. And don't we have churches that need to plug the holes in their walls? They need to repair the breaches of letting the enemy in and letting compromise in. And they need to get back to God's word. Because that's one of the first things that goes in a church that walks away from the things of the Lord. They stop listening to God's word and they stop teaching God's word. They have topical sermons that have to do with nothing of the things of the Lord. I probably told you, but we had one boy of one of our friends, and he went to a church in the city. In the Sunday morning sermon was on how to make your own beer. That was the sermon. That was the Sunday morning teaching, and that was a church. Where have we gone? And what are we teaching now? We're teaching a feel-good. How many churches have people carrying their Bibles into church anymore? Scary, isn't it? I know there's phones, and I know there's things, and I know there's things up on the wall, but how many people are letting that word get into their eye gate, get into their ear gate, to get into their heart. Because if you're not applying that word to yourself, if it's just a feel-good message or a prosperity message or one of those things, it's going to do nothing for your heart. The heart has to be changed before we start walking in it. So the second step then is get God's word back in that place where it should be. Because remember, Jerusalem is there. They've got a religion, but God's word isn't there. They had to go find God's word. How does a church operate without having God's word? It can't be a church. It has to be a religion. So we have to get back to God's word. It has to be brought out so that it can find the hearts of the people that are there. So it says that Shaphan the scribe came to the king, brought it to the king, the word again, and said, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of to do the work, and they have oversight over the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book," and Shaphan read it before the king. So we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So in these things, we see that the word has to be read. It has to be opened up before the people, not just before the king, which is wonderful, but it needs to then go beyond that. So in our steps of revival, we also have steps of personal ways of a walk. In one of the first things that we have, and I'm not trying to confuse everybody, but this is more for me than you probably, is that the book has to be open. In our walk with the Lord, the Word of God has to be open. It can't be a shut book. It can't be a book just set on the coffee table so that people can see it when they come in the house and it's sitting there gathering dust. It has to be a book that's open. We've got one gal at one of our Bible studies, and she's 94, 95 now, but when she leaves the house, she leaves her Bible open in 1 Thessalonians.
Amen.
So if she gets raptured and the kids come in to see what's going on in the house, they see the verses because she's got them highlighted. It's just like, oh yeah. The book needs to be open so that people know what's going on, so that people can see what's happening. So in our own personal walk with the Lord, these six things have to happen. And this is going to end up into chapter 23 too. So it's going to be a continuation next time. But we can start it here. The word has to be opened so that faith can come. And our faith can grow. The second thing then that goes on in our own personal walk is in verse 11, and it says that it came to pass that when the king had heard the words of the Lord, that he rent his clothes. So there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a tearing away of the old and a putting on of the new. And that's what the Lord always wants for us. And so then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Maacaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, the servant of the king, saying, "Go ye inquire of the Lord." So the third step for us in our personal walk with the Lord is that we would seek the Lord, that we would seek him, that we would seek him first and him only. The word is open, there's repentance going on, and then we seek the Lord for direction and wisdom. Because I don't know about you, but when I walk in my own way, there's utter destruction that goes before me. I'm like that guy in the cartoon with the cloud that always followed him around wherever he went. It's just an awful thing. Or like Linus with the blanket and Snoopy. You know, whenever he's walking around, there's a dust cloud that's always going around with him. That's the way my life is without the word being opened in my heart seeking God. There's always destruction and just a dust cloud of things that are going on. So seek the Lord. And he says, "Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of the book that is found." So we found this book. We don't know what to do with it. You're the priest. You're supposed to know what's going on. So help me with this and help me in it. We need to seek the Lord. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of the book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Our fathers failed, but he's also, I think, taking responsibility. Our fathers failed, but we're following after their footsteps. It isn't just our father's fault. There's the personal accountability in here. We haven't followed after the things of the Lord. And we can blame our parents for our upbringing. We can blame our parents for the way that things have gone on, but there's a personal responsibility in us to know that we have to seek the Lord also ourselves. It can't be our parents that do it for us. We have to do it.
Or the pastor.
Or the pastor. Yeah, take the responsibility off of me. You guys got your own responsibility. I got enough going on. But you have your own. You can't blame the church for the way that you are. You have to take responsibility and have accountability in yourselves. And certainly be in that place where you're seeking the things of the Lord. The wrath of the Lord is against us. And notice, this never came up until they found the Word of God. And all of a sudden they find the Word of God and they realize, boy, God's pouring trouble out on us. And it's our fault. Oh, and that's what happens when we walk with Him. We open the Word, we repent, we turn, and we start seeing that things are awful because we made a mess of things. But God's in the business of restoring and giving hope. And that's so wonderful that there's no life that's so bad and no life that's so far gone that God can't restore goodness to that life, because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And once we turn and repent, then life is made brand new. He takes all those old things and just whoosh. And that is just so unbelievable that God can do that. That God can take a life like Jeffrey Dahmer's. He used to kill people and eat their body parts and save them in jail. And make them come to a place of praising the Lord. Only God can do that. Because God can change a heart, but He's not going to change your mind. That's up to you. We can't change our heart, but we're always changing our mind, aren't we? Well, TV said, the newspaper said that this guy was good, so I believe it.
Or the internet said.
Or the internet. Or TikTok said that I should go out and do 150 miles an hour and run over people and I'm okay. Because I'm taking a challenge. Really? We have no mind without the Lord, but He's the one that wants to change the heart. And once He changes the heart, the mind should be fixed on Him. And then things are going to go in the right direction. Just so amazing. He says, go inquire of the Lord, and for the people, for me, for all of Judah, concerning the words that are found in this book, because God's wrath is on us and it's kindled against us. And isn't it amazing when you first got saved and you realized that you were a sinner? Lord, all this time I thought I was a good person. All this time I thought I was doing good because I was married, I had kids, we were going in a good direction, we had a home, we had cars, we had boats, we had planes, we had all this stuff and everything was great, but we were miserable. And I thought I was a good person, because isn't that usually the case when you run into people and you talk to them and you witness to them? Well, I'm a good person, what do I need God for? Because you're not as good as you think. If you're against God, you're a sinner. And we came to the realization that we were in sin and that we needed help. And we submitted ourselves finally to somebody who could make us better. Instead of submitting ourselves to all the things that are around us that don't make us any better, they just seem to make us brighter or more accountable to those that are around us or more pleasing to other people, all of a sudden we realize I need a whole change. I just don't need to be reformed or anything else. I need a whole new me. And it's only found in Christ. It's not found anywhere else. He says, go inquire so that we can have this, so that we can change the nation. The nation is not going to be changed until the hearts are changed. And it doesn't matter how many programs we get for people, it isn't going to change their heart. It's just going to change the way that they act. It's going to reform them, but it doesn't change the heart. Only God can change the heart. And only God can bring us that new heart that we need to have. So he says, go and seek. And that's what we should be doing, is Lord, seeking you. He tells us in Matthew to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you. These things that need to be added to your life. The things of accountability, the things of responsibility, the things of witnessing, the things of Bible reading programs, the things of finding a church. All these things are going to be added to us as we seek the Lord. And he's going to take care of those things. Lord, I don't know how to be a good husband. And I'm still learning. After all these years, she keeps going, when? It's coming. It's coming. And we go all through all those things. But they're added to us. They're not multiplied. You're not an instant Christian that's perfect. Those things are added. Don't be discouraged because things are taking so long for your heart to change. Just keep seeking. Because if you stop seeking because things are taking so long, you never progress. God is still moving, but we've stopped. And God gets further and further away. Just keep going. Just keep seeking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So verse 14 then says, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azahiah went into Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelled in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. This is amazing to me. And if you really don't stop and read, if you really don't stop and look at it, you just kind of blow by it. But the priest who is supposed to know the word of God, where does he go? He goes to a woman. Oh, the Jewish people would be slapping their foreheads so much they'd have marks. It's just unbelievable. But here's a woman who evidently is following after the things of the Lord. She's a prophetess. She's one who hears from the Lord. She's one who's giving out things from the Lord. But she's shut up in a college in Jerusalem. She's there the whole time, but the people don't want to recognize her. The people don't want to go after her. But look at where he goes when he finds out from the king that the word of God has been found and it's important for us and we need to find out who this Lord is that we want to serve. And they go, all of a sudden they remember there's one in Jerusalem and she's following after the things of the Lord. Let's go find out what she knows.
There's a song when I
spread. It isn't just smart, is it? It's following after the things of the Lord. It's just faithful in the things of God. She wasn't known until the word of God was found and they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to handle it. So they went to find one that did. And the priest goes. The priest should have been the one to know. But he didn't know. He had to go find out. But I give him credit. He humbled himself and went to find out. Thank you, Lord, for it. That he wasn't so proud in himself saying, well, hey, I'm the priest. I don't need anybody else. He knew he needed help. And God pointed him in the direction that he needed to go. He was seeking the Lord, and the Lord was adding to him what he needed to have. And that is just so wonderful. Don't ever put ourselves in that place where we don't have to look for help from the things of the Lord, for the things of the Lord, with those that have understanding. But it takes time to listen. It takes time to be directed. So they go to Huldah, this prophetess that's in Jerusalem. She was at the college, and they communed with her. They didn't just go up to her and say, hey, give us a list. They communed with her. They spent time hearing about the things of God. Take time to hear about the things of God. Don't be so almighty in yourself that you can't take time to hear about the things of God. Well, I've read through the Bible once. I don't need any more help. I graduated from cemetery, and I've got all this stuff now, and I don't need any more of God. Because face it, most of the Bible colleges are cemeteries. They kill people more than they raise people up. Oh. And so she said to them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." She doesn't tell them what she knows. She tells them what God says. And that's important, because that's going to be in that place, and that's where we need to be, is telling them what God says, not telling them what we say. Because we got enough books out there. We got enough self-help books out there to tell people how to get rich in 1 year, how to be famous in a year, how to grow your church in 6 months, how to have a great kids program in 2 months, how to do all these things. She went to the Word of God. Lord, help us to go to the Word, not to a program, not to somebody who's going to give us their experience, but to give us what God says. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place." Can you imagine? They finally found the Word. The Word is there. They're repenting. They're looking for the things of God. They come to God, and what's the first thing God says to them? "There's evil in this place, and I'm going to get rid of it." Really? Lord, that wasn't the message that I was expecting you to say. And there's an important thing that goes on here, that no matter what God says to us, God is always right. That's the first thing we need to remember. God is always right. We're always wrong. Because the things that aren't happening in our life are not God's fault. They're our fault. Because we're not listening, we're not paying attention, we're not going in the right direction, it's our fault. And it's hard, especially for guys. I mean, how many guys can sit there and say, "I'm wrong," to their wives, especially? Or to anybody else, for that matter. You know, we sit there and we develop this stuttering complex that goes on. And we stutter for months before we finally get it out. "I'm a rah, 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 rah." We can't do it. It just is not natural. But that's why God is supernatural. That he can equip us with what we need to have for the supernatural things, not for the natural things. "I'm going to bring evil upon this place and upon all the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. So go tell Josiah that." Really? That's a message you want to take back to the king? "Because they have forsaken me, and they have burned incense unto their other gods." This is why they've been forsaken, because they're seeking after other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. "Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched." So God brings a promise to them that in this place, these things are going to happen. And he's got to go back, the priest has got to go back and tell the king this. But there's an interesting thing that goes on. Even if God tells you something hard and harsh against your own life, remember Hezekiah, Isaiah had to go to him and tell him, "Hey, you're going to die, get your house in order." Hard message. And he turned and sought the Lord. And that's the place that we need to go. There's an important lesson in all of that. Even if God restores and gives more years, it doesn't matter. If God gives us a bad message and a hard message, we still need to know that God is faithful, that God is right, and that we still need to worship him no matter what. I mean, what would happen to the churches in America? The bill has been introduced into Canada. I don't know when they're voting on it, but it's been introduced that they're going to take the churches off of the contribution list, that they can no longer be tax exempt. You know how many churches would close? And it's a sad thing to say, because people depend on those tax exempt statuses. Those are their charities. If they lose those, they'll stop giving, even to the church. Mm-mm. shows where their hearts are, isn't it? What am I giving for? I'm giving so I can get a tax exemption. I'm giving so that I can get something off my taxes. Instead of giving for, because the Lord says, I want you to give. Ooh, and that's hard. And we all have to come to that place, but we need to know that God is faithful no matter what. And we need to walk after the things of the Lord, even if we have a hard message. Even if we receive a hard message. That God, you're still faithful. And there's people every day that are getting hard messages. John, we're going to have to amputate your leg. And the Lord says to him, are you still going to love me, even without a leg? Are you still going to love me, even if you have cancer? Are you still going to know that I'm faithful and right and true in all of my ways, no matter if you lose your spouse? Oh, Lord. And these are hard things that come to the people of God. And the people of God are not exempt from getting these messages and getting these things. We see King Josiah, who it says was a good king, and yet God gives him a hard message. But he's going to continue after the things of the Lord. And it's a challenge, I think, for us. Lord, what am I going to do with you if you give me a hard message? Lord, am I still going to love you? Am I still going to serve you? Or am I going to put up barriers against you? Oh, because God is always right. We're always wrong. So, Lord, what way am I going to go with this? Oh, and that can be hard, but it comes to that place of, you know, just like the word says, to examine ourselves. Where are we in our walk with the Lord? Are we in that right place? Or are we starting to slide because things are getting hard? Because things are getting awful. Oh. And this is an individual thing. This is not just a national thing. This is an individual thing. I'm sure some of the people that hear this message are going to walk away from God forever and say, forget it. If this is the only message you can bring me after I've come back and said, hey, I repent, I turn, then that's it. I'm not walking with you anymore. Boo. But it's a heart that knows our God that's going to be mature enough to say, no matter what message you bring to me, I'm going to follow you. And we don't know how we're going to react until it happens, are we? I can't sit here and say, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I don't say until you take away my money or until you take away my wife or until you take away my kids or until you do this. I don't know. All I know is, I know that God is faithful, I know that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and what do I do with it in the midst of hard messages? All these things are going to come to pass, and my anger is not going to be quenched until this is taken care of. But then he says, this is what the Lord does, is he ministers to the king to continue to encourage him. But he says in verse 18, but to the king of Judah which sent you. Notice, isn't it amazing? God doesn't even call him by name. He doesn't say Josiah. He just says, go back and tell the king of Judah. God has no respecter of persons, is he? Just because he's a king, I remember his name. It doesn't matter. What matters is he knows who he is. He already knows how many hairs are on his head. He already knows what position he's in. He already knows where his heart has gone, and he's willing to meet with him there. And that is just so, so wonderful. He says, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. So again, the word of God comes from this woman to the priest who's going to give it to the king. As touching the words that you've heard, because your heart was tender and because you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, saith the Lord. I've been hearing your cries. And the Lord always hears the cries of those that are weeping before him and humbling themselves before their God. And repenting and turning. He says this message, and what we need to realize too is that the nation was awful. The nation was killing their babies. The valley was there of Hinnom, where they would sacrifice their babies to Molech. It was the abortion center of the time. It wasn't Planned Parenthood, it was the Valley of Hinnom with Molech. They would heat up this god, and he would become so red hot, then they would take their babies and place them in the arms of this god that they had heated up in the fires, and they would sacrifice their babies to the god to please him. And God heard their cries, but all the time they were playing the drum so loud, and it was called Tophet, so that they wouldn't have to hear the cries of the babies. That's how awful it had become and how hard and seared the hearts had become. And so judgment needed to come. And that's what we need to realize. Even though America is somewhat turning towards the things of the Lord, it doesn't mean that God's judgment isn't going to come upon our nation. I think we're already under judgment. He's just giving us a reprieve, I think, to come to salvation and to come to walk with him and to see what we're going to do with it. I think he's heard the people's hearts, that, Lord, we're crying out to you. We love our nation. We love the place that you've given us. Lord, we want to repent and turn. And what did God say? If you come to me and turn to me, in Chronicles, I'll heal your land. Are we going to see that? I don't know. But we know that God is just and always true, and that where there's sin, there needs to be judgment. And we realize that, Lord, my sin needs judging. But for those that are born again, that place of judgment has taken place on Jesus' shoulders. That place was put on Jesus 2,000 years ago, and our sins are remembered no more. Thank you, Lord, for that. Just think about it. Your one sin, even if you only had one sin, and I'm pretty confident in this. I'm sure none of you have only sinned once. If you have, please come and see me and tell me what's going on. Because I messed up before I got here 1,000 times. Come on. But even that one sin had to have judgment upon it. And that judgment had to go to Jesus. Even if you only sinned once. And just think of the multiple sin that he took upon the weight that was there on his shoulders. As he took our sin for us. We serve an awesome God who loves us completely. We see that judgment needs to come, and we realize it, and we want judgment to come, but we want mercy too, don't we? And there is mercy. He pours out his mercy. That's why he says, as to Israel, as they were building the ark, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. Not that I'll meet you at the law. I'm going to meet you at the mercy seat. And if you don't want to meet me at the mercy seat, then I'll meet you under the scope of the law. And law demands death for sin. God is gracious and so loving for us, and we're just so thankful. The nation was going to be judged, but he says to Josiah, because his heart was tender and that he humbled himself, a king who humbled himself, unheard of. It's like our president humbling himself and saying, I was wrong. I blew it. Whoa, somebody that's real? Nah, they can't be in office. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself when you heard what I was doing against this. I've heard that. I've heard your heart speak to me. Oh, and that's just so wonderful. The Lord is listening to the cries of his people for forgiveness and mercy. Lord, I need your mercy. The Lord is listening. He says in verse 20, Behold, therefore, I will gather you unto your fathers, and you shall be gathered into your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So the priest gets to go in to tell him all of this. And can you imagine his heart? My whole nation is going to be destroyed because of the works of wickedness but he's going to spare me because I was tender-hearted and I needed forgiveness, and I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And the world can't understand us when they ask us about Jesus and why we love him and why we walk before him, because he loved me and he heard me and he wants to forgive my sin. He's going to have judgment on my sin, but that judgment was put on Jesus. My sin needed judging. My sin needed correcting. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, has given me mercy and love, and he's forgiven my sin, and he loves me. And the world can't understand that, that somebody that we can't see, we believe. But that's a faith walk, isn't it? That's where the faith comes in. I believe that Jesus took my sin. I believe that Jesus took it, and not only took it, but forgives me of my sins. And the world cannot understand that. How could somebody that you don't see, that you don't see personally, can forgive your sin and take away that sin from you? Can't happen. I've got to see proof of it. It's in the Word. I don't believe the Word. Then what Jesus are you following? We had a gal this morning that we had seen one of her posts, and she said she had just come through this wonderful time where she realized that she loved Jesus and that she was a Christian, but she didn't read the Bible. What Jesus are you following? Is it the Jesus of the Bible or a Jesus of your own making? Ooh, and we've got to be careful of that, don't we? Lord, don't let me make you what I think you should be. Let me make you what you are, what your Word says that you are. Look at Huldah. She went right to the Word of God and gave them the Word. It was a hard word, but there was peace in it, wasn't there? Oh, and sometimes we get a hard word, but there's peace in it. For you and I, we are closer than ever to going home, whether by the rapture or by our age. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We aren't even guaranteed today. But I believe by faith that I'm going to heaven, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And it's the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus of my own making. It's the Jesus of the Bible because he said so. And I believe his word. That's why the word is so important. That's why we need to chew on it and to have it and to meditate on it and to sing about it and to rejoice in it. It is just such a wonderful book, and we see all these examples and we look at all these things and we are just amazed that we know God Almighty and he loves us in spite of us. And that is just an amazing thing. So, Father, we just come this morning. We're just so grateful, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your love, and for you being able to change hearts, Lord. And so we look to you this morning and just ask, Father, if we're going in a wrong direction, please stop us, Lord. Put a roadblock up in front of us and just stop us and help us to look at our own hearts and to see, Lord, do we need revival? And if we need revival, Lord, are we repairing the breaches where the enemies come in? Are we throwing the enemy out? And we're going to see that as Josiah goes through and gets rid of all the places where the enemy has entered in into the nation, that he gets rid of them. And Lord, help us to do the same and help us to repent. Help us to really, your word tells us in Joel not to rend our garments, but to rend our hearts. And Lord, may our hearts be broken over the things that we've done against you. But show us, Lord, so that we might know your truths and walk in those truths and get back into the Word and seek you, Lord. So have your way with us. Minister to us. And we're all in different places. Some of us are doing good as far as the world is concerned. Some of us are doing okay. Some of us are doing awful. But Lord, we want to know what you think of us. We want to know what you say to us. So help us with that, Lord, to examine ourselves and just to seek you and to know your ways. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We ask for your leading and your guiding. And Lord, like you told Josiah, that he was going to be gathered to his God, and he was going to go in peace because he was tender-hearted and wanted the things of the Lord. And Father, may we be the same, that we would have tender hearts, not hardened hearts, not seared consciences, but tender hearts, and hearts that would want to seek our God. So have your way with us, Lord, because we want to know your peace. We want to know your ways. And so lead us in those ways now, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.